Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Good morning. You know, this is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord. Would you stand with me? I know they're taking offering at this time. Give the Lord a big hand as you do that. And we're getting ready to get into the Word of God. Yes, indeed. We've been talking about being filled with the Spirit. And today, I know that some of you last week said, well, you know, I don't know about that. But this week, we came back with the anticipation that there'll be those of you that say, you know, I'm trusting God to put his fullness in my life. I'm trusting God to enter into a realm of worship beyond what I've ever experienced before. And today, the message today talks about be filled with the Spirit. Anybody know what that means? All right, let me put it here this way. Ever had a tank of gas that lasted forever? No. That means that there's an opportunity for us to be filled with the Spirit, not only just today, but for every day of our life. And many of us haven't experienced that. So we're going to find out from the Word of God what he has to say about this. We're going to go into Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And then the last final scripture will be Acts 5, 32. You'll find the responding verses on the screen behind me. Well, the first verse says this, and you'll read the one point of this. And it happened while Apollos was in Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples,
he said to them, "You received
And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And so they said to him, "Into John's baptism." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let me just hold that just for a minute. I'll read my verse this minute. And they prophesied, and tongues came forth. There's faith in the house today for that to happen to you. Are you good with that? Okay. Okay, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And the next verse came out. And he went to the synagogue, and he spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. All right, then we go to, and then it says, and this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, of whom God has given to those who obey him. Are you willing to be obedient to God?
Yes.
To do whatever he tells you to do?
Yes.
Even if you've never done it before?
Yes.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, there's faith in this house to believe for something that perhaps has never been experienced before. And Lord, this is nothing strange, this is nothing weird, this is nothing out of the ordinary, but rather it's the fact of experience that you have promised through your word that you give to those who obey you. And Lord, I pray there's an obedient house of people here today that want to experience all of the fullness of God. Lord, I pray that all fear would be eradicated, all of our former experiences that don't embrace that which we're about to experience. God, that we would come to a place of just openness as little children before you and receive the promise of God. Lord, we thank you for this and we praise you for this. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Everybody shout out, amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. There's only one thing that unlocks the door for access to the Holy Spirit, and that's obedience. Now, obedience is one of those things where you can't be partially obedient, like your children, when they clean their room. It's all done except the things I shoved under the bed. Or it's all done except, is your homework done? It's all done except for the words I don't really want to do. You know how the game is played. We're talking about obedience today, folks, and the idea I would like to say to you is the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit occurred when those who were instructed by Jesus did exactly what he told them to do. He says, go to Jerusalem, wait there until the Holy Spirit experienced. And they had absolutely no idea what they were waiting for. They had no idea. He says, but just go there and wait there. Now, here's the other thing that makes it difficult. How many of you are good at waiting? You're lying. No, forgive me. There are some people that are good at waiting. You're supernatural. God bless you. You don't mind waiting when you say, well, I'll be there in 10 minutes. But when the 11th minute strikes, you're saying, oh, boy. You know what I'm saying? Because all of a sudden, it's moved into another zone like you don't know when it's going to happen. But Jesus said, wait there. And 10 days later, we'll talk about that in just a moment. So let's get into some questions real quickly. Are you willing to lay down your life for him regardless of what people may think? Boy, here's these folks waiting in the upper room. And all of a sudden, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one place. And all of a sudden, suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they're sitting. And the Bible says from then on, it was chaos. Or was it orderly, a reformation of something you've never experienced before? I want to move your mind from chaos to the fact of something that God has appointed for you. Secondly, are you ready to surrender your will in order to fulfill his will? It may not look like what you thought it's going to look like, but it's going to look like what he wants it to look like. Exchange your expression for his. How about number three? Does the 24/7 access to the power and the presence of the Spirit encourage you to seek the Lord with all your heart? I think one of the most frustrating things for people, I don't know for me, is when I really want to go some particular place and I see on the door says, close, we'll open again tomorrow at such and such a time. And I want it now. Baskin Robbins double scoop with a little bit of a little whipped cream and a little bit of, you know. And I mean, I got there at 9:59. They close at 10. Come on, give the brother a little slack. But God, the way he does things, he never closes. He's accessible all the time. And let's get into the Word of God because it's going to tell us about this. The defining moment of being filled with the Holy Spirit is your willingness to obey. We read Acts 5:32. It says, and let's put it back up there again because it says, and we are his witnesses to these things that, and also is the Holy Spirit to whom God has given to those who obey him. Now, there is only one thing that will hinder you from receiving the promise of God. It's called disobedience. Because some of you will say, everybody lift your hands. I'm not lifting my hands. I don't feel like it. I don't think it's necessary. Go ahead. Stay in your state of being. But obedience is the key to receiving the things from God. Here's some reasons why, or some application. Jesus gave instructions in the beginning and they obeyed them. What about this? For those who desire to receive him today, we must give control of our entire being. Our entire body. Well, I think that obviously in our culture, there's some decorum, and of course nowadays some people, I don't know where they're coming from, but to give surrender completely to someone that you cannot see, or some, and I say someone, I can't say something, because the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a thing. I remember back in the day when we were seeking the Holy Spirit, I got it. Which it did you get? I got it. Something about me, I'm just different now because I got it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The Holy Spirit, let me tell you one thing that's the most important thing that you can learn today. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to force anything on you. But when you yield to him, then it's his game, okay? So I've never felt like that, but I've never been that outgoing. Once you yield to him, he takes responsibility for everything you do. Even if I don't understand it, he'll take responsibility for that. Well, our tongue is symbolic of the thing that we must allow him to have complete control over. James makes a case about the tongue being the most untamable member of your body. Ever got in trouble with your tongue? Let me rephrase the question. Ever not got in trouble with something you said? Oops, that came out. No, it didn't. Oops, came out. You formulated something in your brain. You activated your tongue to participate in this conspiracy. And the end result was calamity. And oops, my bad. No, it started further down than that. I don't have time to analyze you today. Let's get into the next scripture, okay? The Holy Spirit is a giver of perfect peace. John chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. This is great. Okay, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. What about that? I guess the important thing right now is, are you teachable? Or do you know it all? I think the most difficult people to align myself with are those people who just know, oh yeah, I know that. Oh yeah, I've done that. I said, what planet are you from that you know all these things? And he goes a little bit further and he says, teach you all things and bring you to remembrance what I said. But here's the part I like. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Look at this promise right now, or actually this affirmation. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I remember, well, back in the 60s, some of y'all weren't alive then, poor things. They had the peace movement, you know, flower children and peace movement. Then there's Timothy Leary came on the scene out of San Francisco. Tune in, turn on, drop out. Anybody remember him, Tim? Where is he now? I think he probably did. He might not be, I don't know. But it was part of the peace movement. But in order to promote peace, you had to add a little something to help you get there. A little tablet. A hallucinogenic. You know what I'm talking about. And there was an acid movement. They called it acid. And I'll tell you what, I have never, ever, ever tried anything like that. But I've seen people who have. Oh, my goodness. Remember one fellow, he had taken a portion of acid. And he was convinced everybody's on the ceiling. What are you guys doing up here on the ceiling with me? We're all up here on the ceiling. I said, no, you up there, but I'm not. Oh, no, you're all up here. I said, I don't know who you're talking to or what you've done. I am not on the ceiling. You're out of your mind. The Holy Spirit has the ability that in the midst of even situations, he will give you peace when everybody else is falling apart with all types of misinformation. And I believe that he wants to give that to some people today. Well, the idea behind it is he brings things to your memory that you have heard of Jesus, and he is the author of perfect peace. Well, that means this. The power of the Holy Spirit will follow those who are obedient. John chapter 14, verse 23, just a few more scriptures. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. Watch this. And we will come. We will come to him and make our home with him. Question. Is there room in your heart, in your life for Jesus? Oh, by the way, he has a guest, the Holy Spirit. We will make our home with him. Wow, what does that look like? Well, if we love him, he will come to us and make his home with us. He equips us with the power to proclaim the word. John chapter 6, verse 63. This is a good one for those of you who have kind of been intimidated by the world. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. Do you like being around people that are affirmative and life-giving? Do you like those kind of folks?
I love the negative folks. They're the realists. The world's going to hell in a handbag. Just want to know how quick we're going to get there.
Wow. I don't care what the devil does or what the devil says, Jesus is still in control. I don't care what law they pass that we can't do this or we can't do this. You know something? I'm going to believe God's word over the devil's word any day of the week. And so somehow we have to lock ourselves in an affirmation process of who God is and rejoice in the midst of trials and tribulations, because that's how the Holy Spirit works. Well, it's the Spirit that gives life in the midst of a perverse and dead generation. He'll bring life to you. Everybody have somebody ask you, why are you so happy? What's your problem? I mean, you're just whistling around and you got this little praise music going on. What's your problem? The Holy Spirit's got a hold of me. I got a hold of him. And you know, I can rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because great is the one who is within me, greater than the one that's in the world. That's the reason why. And that's what we're talking about, of being filled with the Spirit. Now, being filled with the Spirit is not the Pollyanna syndrome. Anybody remember Pollyanna? She had an issue. She was glad about everything. I'm glad about everything. My name is Pollyanna. I'm glad it's raining today. I'm glad I just lost my shoe. I'm glad. You know what's wrong with that? It's stupid. You don't have to be glad about adversity, but you can rejoice in the midst of it. Oh, you might wish it were different, but you know something? Adversity will not get you down when the power of the Holy Spirit overrides adversity. He'll walk you through the hardest and darkest trials you've ever faced. And he says, though he slay me, yet will I put my trust. That was Job's testimony. And he, as far as I know, this Holy Spirit that is accessible to, he didn't have that. But he said, you know what? I found a confidence in God that shakes the world to the different place, that even Job in his trials, even though his wife says, you know, Job, I got something to tell you. She's a Jewish lady. Job, it'd be better if you just curse God and die. Die with dignity. Mrs. Job. Yeah. Our faith is activated as we walk in the power of the word. Now, let's go into Acts chapter 19, verse 2, and it says, be filled with the Spirit is an act of faith. 19:2 says this, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, let me just define some things for you, because so people will not get confused. When you gave your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit confirmed that to your spirit that you are a child of God. Can I get an amen? So I'm not trying to push off on you that unless you speak in tongues, you are not saved. I want to just strike that one out of the picture. But notice what it says, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Which would imply that there is something beyond your believing that the Holy Spirit wants to give you. All right, let me just put it to you this way. Someone, you know, gives you $1,000. And they say, oh, but there's more. I'm good with $1,000. I got $1 million more to give you. Oh, I'm good. You're crazy. Put it in my bank account. You can just go around and be poor if you want to. I'll take all he has to give me in Jesus' name. Does it make you any less of a person? No, it doesn't. But the fullness of God is something that's available to us. But you know what I found out? When you're filled with the Spirit, it's not to be expended upon you, but it's to fill you with the joy of the Lord that you may bring others into the awareness of who Jesus is. But you can't, you know, give away anything if you're living in poverty of the Spirit. Here's what it looks like. Well, foundations of being filled with the Spirit are joy and peace, which comes from believing in Jesus. That means the joy of the Lord is your strength and will accompany all believers. K? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The joy of the Lord is your strength. What does that truly mean? You know what joy means? I gave you this alliteration on it. J means Jesus. O means other. Y means yourself, in that order. Jesus, others, yourself. That's how the Holy Spirit works. He becomes preeminent in your life. Then he gives you the power to love others beyond your ability of loving yourself. And you put yourself last. But what does the Bible say? The first shall be last, the last shall be first. God's already got you covered. Wow. He's taking care of you. Our hope is infused with the greatness of the works he has performed in our lives by faith. And watch this one. Many signs and wonders will be manifest in us by the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, 19. This is great. In mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about in Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. This is Paul's testimony. But watch this. In mighty signs and wonders, why was Paul allowed to reach the pinnacle of mighty signs and wonders? Well, he's not the only one. Mark, he says, those who believe in me shall be able to cast out devils. Believers. Okay, I gotta back this one up. There is no demon in hell that a born-again, spirit-filled believer cannot deal with. Let me qualify this. Don't go picking a fight. Bring your devil in here! That's stupid. Not a good idea. But when you find yourself in the situation where the devil's coming after you, the Bible says no weapon formed against you will prosper. The power of the Holy Spirit is within you. And in the name of Jesus, you can cast the devil out. I've seen it happen over and over and over and over again. Just yesterday, my wife was with me. Actually, she was out doing some other things while I was at a board meeting up in Walla Walla, Washington. But it reminded me, I was with some people, the McMichaels from Calvary Connection. It reminded me of when I was over in Africa. And she was like, well, that's a really dark country. There's a lot of things. There's witch doctors and people over there, and they'll do terrible things. One night we were having a revival meeting there in a building, and the witch doctor sent about 10 of it, more than that, of his disciples to upset the meeting. Oh, yes, they did. They stood in the back of the church, and they were chanting. And they were just kind of rustling around there, and I'm preaching this type of thing. And, of course, doesn't matter. I don't speak Swahili, I was being interpreted to three different languages. So you can imagine, like, I preach something, and then I have to wait three times for it to be distributed. So they could have done anything they wanted to do. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He says, take authority over the devil. I'm thinking, what? Because here's these little old ladies, and they got their shukas on, this type of thing, but they're just back there, just kind of rustling as far as this. And all of a sudden, I stopped and I said, in the name of Jesus, repent or get out of here. Now, it'd been nice to just get out of here, but I think repent or get out of here is probably a better place. Because some of those people who are under the bondage of the devil, they may want to leave him behind and get saved by Jesus. Let me tell you what happened, and I can verify this. So I said, in the name of Jesus, in the middle of the sermon. Of course, it became the end of the sermon because God started moving. And I had several other pages of, well, anyway, didn't matter. In the name of Jesus, repent or get out of here. Several of the women screamed, convulsed, and start running out of the building. The other group of people, and there was only a couple of men there, came to the altar, fell on their knees, and got saved. Renounce the devil. But I want to tell you, it's the Holy Spirit that does that. Don't try that on your own. They'll whoop you up one side and down the other. They'll clean your clock. Rewind. Oh, yeah, let me leave that alone. Okay. But we can be confident that God will respond to us as we ask in faith. Romans chapter 10, verses 11 through 13. This is great. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Let me stop with that place right there. One of the things that will probably hinder a lot of you from receiving things from God is shame. You're ashamed. You've been kind of conditioned, and all of us have been conditioned with the protocol of how we should respond in various situations. And the devil will convince you that if you respond to the Holy Spirit in this type of thing, you'll probably do something you'll be ashamed of, so therefore don't do it. Hold that for just a moment. There's more. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you came to Jesus, he saved you regardless of anything you've ever done before. Lying, cheating, stealing, you know, all. Name the worst sin you can possibly name in your own mind. Please don't name it out loud because we don't want to hear it. My ears are fragile. But whatever you're dealing with, Jesus can handle it. Well, we must ask the Lord with confidence, knowing that it is his will. We do not have to fear disappointment. We must remember that he is asking for a person. We're asking for a person and not an experience. That's the part. Let me park there for a moment. We're asking for the person of the Holy Spirit, not a case of the jiggles or the quickness. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Better be honest with you. I came from a background of holy rollers. And I've seen people roll on the floor. Oh, yes, I have. I've never rolled myself, but I've seen those who have rolled. I've seen them knock over chairs. I've seen them do some interesting things. One of the most interesting things was, you know, I'd ruin everything if I tell you that story, so I'll leave it alone. So, to some of you won't recover. So I'll leave that one alone. God says, don't say it, I won't say it. All I was going to say was, it changed the whole atmosphere. And if your fear is that God is going to put you in a situation where you'll never recover from it, the enemy will use that to prevent you from responding to Jesus. I'm here today as a real result of God's grace and his mercy in my life. I haven't done everything perfect, but I'll tell you what, the perfecter, his comment, will perfect everything concerning me. He's working on me on a daily basis. Well, we can anticipate the power of the intervention of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I love this. Romans chapter 3, verses 5, verses 3 to 5. And not only that, but we also give glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. Let me just take this apart for you, just real quickly. Not only that, but we also give glory in tribulation. Anybody going through anything right now, wave your hand at me. Come on, put it up there high, because we're going to raise those hands in just a few minutes anyway. Because I was going through something, but now I'm going to see what Jesus is going to do. Watch this. Okay. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. In other words, don't give up. God's about to come through for you. How about that? But perseverance produces character. And you know something? You'll be a better person because of what you've gone through. You think the devil meant it for evil, but God will turn it around for good. You went through some hard times, but the hard times will not make you hard, but it'll make you soften to the things of the Spirit, and the anointing of God will come upon you, and you'll be a totally different person, that you'll be able to snatch other people out of the arms of the enemy because of what you've gone through. You don't go through stuff for no reason. God's got a reason for what you're going through. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and when he releases you, you'll be powerful against the enemy, and you'll pull down strongholds in the name of Jesus. Come on. But I like this word. It's only got four letters in it, but I like hope. I like hope. You know, some of you came here, maybe you came through these doors and I said, I know, Pastor, I'm just getting kind of tired. I don't have any hope. Go ahead. It's this, oh Israel, hope in the Lord, not in circumstances, not in people, not in money, not in anything else you have. Your hope is in Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock. I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Come on. That's where your hope is. Any hope other than that will not work. When you wish upon a star, it won't take you very far. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Come, somebody ought to be shouting right about now. Glory to God. Well, we'll find glory of God with our tribulations. We'll find character that's being developed. Love is the most powerful manifestation of the Holy Spirit that can conquer the works of the devil. The Holy Spirit will give us power to possess our vessel in righteousness and purity. 1 Thessalonians 4:4-8. I want you to listen carefully to this portion of Scripture, because this will be deliverance for some people in this room. Listen carefully. That each of you should know how to possess his vessel, his own vessel, in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles, who do not know God. And no one should take advantage of or defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Now listen to me carefully. I am wise enough to know that people suffer, or I shouldn't say suffer, but struggle with moral purity. Because the world has told you, it's okay, do whatever you want to do. But you know, there's something about the conviction of the Holy Spirit that even after you've done all the things you want to do, you don't feel good about it. You feel unclean. He said, I don't know why. That's supposed to be the best experience of my life, but I just feel unclean. You know what that's called? It's called conviction. Not condemnation. The Bible says there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Did anybody know that's the word of God? That's what it is. So if you're feeling all down and convicted, God's here to change you into his image. Well, let me go quickly to my last portion of Scripture, because there's something I want to show you. Receiving the Holy Spirit is an act of faith and yielding to his power. John chapter 7, verses 37, 38. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone's thirst, let him come to me and drink. For he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I think that's probably the best description I can give you that's in the word of God that Jesus said himself. He says, out of his innermost being, King James Version says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of your belly means out of the part of you that's your innermost of who you are. The flow is ignited by the Holy Spirit. The release is done through your mouth, that you speak out the wonderful things of God. And here's the one thing I need to tell you. You don't have to make up anything. Speaking in tongues is not saying, he's coming in a Kawasaki, he's coming in a Honda, coming in a Chevrolet. It's opening your mouth and saying, Holy Spirit, you can speak through me, even though I may not understand what's going forth. I'm going to demonstrate that. We will demonstrate that for you in just a moment. Well, we will never experience the power of the Spirit if we prevent him from having control over our entire body. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not quench the Spirit. Any questions? See,
Well, what does that mean, do not quench the Spirit?
Well, for those of you who weren't going to ask questions, let me show you what that means. We quench the Spirit when we allow fear to override our faith. That's quencher number one.
I'm afraid that if people think I'm strange, I'm afraid nothing's going to happen, so I better not do anything.
That's quenching the Spirit. When the Lord has promised to give you something, it's like someone calls, would you come over to my house? I've got $1 million for you. Now, you can either believe you're going to receive $1 million or you can sit at home just hoping that someday you'll get $1 million. But as far as someone says, I've got it for you, why don't you go get it? Get in your car, drive over there with a bodyguard.
And get what somebody's promised you. Let me just get out of this thing.
The Holy Spirit is quenched when we disobey a command from the Word of God. Now, it may not even be a command about the Holy Spirit. It's any command from the Word of God. If you expect to be filled with the Holy Spirit and you are walking in all other types of sin, and I'll tell you the number one sin that will hinder you from really getting all God has for you is the sin of unforgiveness.
Oh, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit,
but I hate her. Lord, just let your Spirit come upon me. I'll never speak to her again. Oh, God, just fill me with all your fullness. She's a rat. She's a dog. But fill me, Jesus. Fill me, Jesus. Fill me, Jesus. You are crazy. You are crazy. You are crazy. I can't trust you with my Spirit when you're all sideways. Clean up the house. Renounce all this other stuff. Let go of all that bitterness, that anxiousness as far as that's going to be. And let God clean the house so he can fill you with his fullness. Because everything you hold on to is a corner he can't fill. We quench the Spirit when we fear man more than God. Some of you will not experience all God has for you because you think, what are people going to think when that happens to me? Someone's listening. They might hear me. The only person you should be worried about hearing you is Jesus. Everybody else don't count. Well, the miracle of speaking in tongues is not that you speak, but what you speak. Arno, come up here and join me. Arno's going to help me today. You got this one alive for him? Check. There we go. I ask him to do something to really declare the glory of God. So Arno, I gave you this prayer, so speak, my brother.
Toutes les louanges et honneurs à Jésus-Christ qui nous a donné une nouvelle vie de l'espoir et de salut à travers son sacrifice sur la croix. À lui la gloire, maintenant et à jamais. Sa grâce est renouvelée chaque matin. Il nous a donné le pouvoir sur l'ennemi et nos âmes et nous a libérés de toute culpabilité et honte des péchés de notre passé. Sa parole est une lumière sur notre chemin et de l'assurance sur le pardon de nos péchés. Avec le pouvoir et l'autorité et la majesté, il règne victorieux. À lui la gloire, l'honneur, la louange pour toujours. Amen.
All right, he's going to stay right here. If you speak French, you knew every word he said. Yeah, one fellow said, I know every word he said. I don't speak French. But I want you to declare that another time. But I want you to declare it with some feeling, and then I'm going to tell him what you said. Go ahead.
Toutes les louanges de Jésus-Christ qui nous a donné à cette nouvelle vie. Il a sacrifié pour nous sur cette croix où il est mort. Nous devons tous le louer chaque jour dans notre vie. Sa grâce est renouvelée à chaque matin. Chaque matin, lorsque nous nous réveillons, il nous accorde sa grâce. Et cela, c'est une grâce que personne d'autre ne peut nous donner. Il nous a donné le pouvoir. Il nous a donné le pouvoir sur toutes les ennemis Quiconque. Il nous a donné l'autorité. Alors nous devons nous servir de cette autorité. Et l'esprit qu'il nous a donné est un esprit qui nous libère contre toutes les culpabilités, la honte de péché du passé. Sa parole est une lumière. Cette lumière et partout où nous allons, quels que soient les obstacles, cette lumière est sur notre chemin. Et cette lumière, c'est son Esprit Saint. Alors nous avons le pouvoir. Vous avez le pouvoir. Et nous avons cette assurance que notre vie est sauvée. Que Dieu vous bénisse.
I know you want to know what he said. I'm going to give it to you in English. Listen to this. All praise and honor to Jesus, who has given us new life and the hope of salvation through his sacrifice on the cross. To him be glory now and forevermore. His grace is renewed every morning. He has given us power over the enemy or of our souls and freed us from all guilt and shame from the sins of our past. His word is a light unto our path and assurance of forgiveness of our sins. With power and authority and majesty, he reigns victoriously. To him be glory, honor, and praise forever. Come on now.
Amen.
Come on. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jesus.
But here's what's important. Now you can applaud. Because you know what I'm saying. You weren't disagreeing with what he said, but you didn't understand what he said. You get what I'm saying? But it was still glorifying God. Don't get hung up in the idea, oh, I'm going to do what. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, his glory will transcend everything you haven't learned at this point. And you'll be able to. And some of you, like I said, I'll be doing a series on the gifts of the Spirit shortly after this, but the power of the Holy Spirit is here today to restore and to put into your life things that you've always wanted. We must be willing to open our mouths and let the Spirit speak. So, well, what am I going to say? You don't get to say anything. You just open your mouth and the Holy Spirit will speak through you. You don't have to make up nothing. Thank you very much. Matter of fact, please don't. So what does that mean? The language in tongues is an extension of praise to God. Worship, can you make your way up here? Because I'm just about done. Acts chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. And they were all amazed, and they marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans, are we not all speaking English? How many of you speak English here? In here? Some of you lying. You do too speak it. Now, you know, you didn't do well. Well, never mind. Anyway, how is it that we hear each in our own language? In which we're born. Yeah, you were born with a language. But God wants to do something greater. Let me tell you how this works, of retaining the Holy Spirit working in your life. After you're filled with the Holy Spirit, use that spiritual language daily. Secondly, fill your heart and spirit with songs of worship. Because you'll start worshiping God, songs of worship, and this type of thing. Next thing you say, oh my, wow, that was amazing. How about this? Read and meditate on the Word of God. And you get to pick one of these. Don't pick all of them, just pick one of these. Or how about this? Allow your love for the Lord and his people to overflow with acts of kindness and intercession. And finally, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Everybody just bow your heads for a moment. And I'm going to give an invitation for a couple of things. There's only one thing you need to do, is declare the fact you're ready for what God has for you. First of all, the most important thing is that you have salvation in your life, or if you've fallen away from Jesus, that you're ready to get your life restored unto him. Let me take care of just the regular business right now. If you're here today and you heard this message, you say, well, you know, I'd love to receive the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, but I've got issues I need to take care of. I haven't surrendered to Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now.
with every head bowed, with every eye closed. If you're here today and you say, you know, Pastor, I need to restore my life into alignment with Jesus. I need to put behind the things of the world and come to him. I once knew him. I was once walking with him. But I allowed the cares of this world to take me away from him. Or I've never given my life over to Jesus, but somehow what you said today, it resonates true. And I want to find Jesus as the Lord of my life. If that's you, put your hand up in the air right now. Do it right now in Jesus' name. Put it up high right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yeah. There's a few more people need to join them. Just leave it up there just for a moment because I'm going to make the devil real mad. Anybody else need to join them? Just put it up right now. Okay, you can put your hands down. When I make the altar call in just a moment, I want you folks to be the first ones to come down the aisle, and there'll be someone to pray with you and just lead you into that experience of oneness with Jesus. Matter of fact, I want everyone to stand right now. Those of you that just raise your hand, I want you to step down. I want you to come first. Come right now. Those of you that raise your hand, come right now in Jesus' name. Come in Jesus' name. Come right now. Come. Come on up. Come on. That's right. Come on. Don't wait. All you that are standing right now, just in reverence, just bow your heads for a moment. Holy Spirit's been teaching you, has been talking to you this entire message. And he's just made it clear to you, today's a day for you to surrender to God and surrender to the Holy Spirit for his fullness. And I want to break off of you intimidation. I want to break off of you the fact that you said that this will never happen. And those of you who've been kind of hard-hearted and said, it's never going to happen to me. And the Holy Spirit said, you know what? Are you saying you don't want more of me? Or you want to draw a boundary line of what's going to happen? I'm going to pray, and at the end of my prayer, I want you to find your way down to this altar. And there's a couple ways you can receive the Holy Spirit. All by yourself, you can do that, fine. But we have some people that are ready to pray with you, and I'm prepared today to pray with you today. Because the Bible says on several occasions, people receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands. Now, believe me, there's nothing in these hands that's magic, except faith to impart to you the faith that God can do miraculous things in your life. So let me pray right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, I break off all intimidation of people who've said, you know, I've wanted to be filled with the Spirit for a long time. I wanted to experience the gift of God for a long time. And today, I'm willing to defy all the odds or intimidation that seem to be against me. I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to go against what I think I can do. And I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to have first priority in my life. I'm going to come to Jesus with anticipation that he's going to fill me with his Spirit. If that's you, I want you to step out right now. Just come down these aisles, and we want to pray with you today. Step out right now in Jesus' name. Come on.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.